What's going on, everybody? Thanks for tuning in to another episode of California Underground. I'm your host, Phil. As always, with me, my co-host, Camille, the best and fastest researcher in the West. How's it going, Camille?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Are you still there? Oh, did we freeze her? We lost her. We lost her right out the gate. That's not a good sign when you lose your co-host. Oh, there, she's back.
No, this happens like every week for like 2 seconds.
Like for 2 seconds, your computer
for
freaks
like two
out.
Seconds. Like,
how are you tonight outside of freezing on your connection?
I'm good. So I thought we were going to be in a drought again because we went like 3 days without rain, but then it started raining. So
I know. I literally just tried to take our dog outside to go to the bathroom. As soon as I got outside, it started to absolutely pour rain on top of us, like dumping buckets. And I looked at my phone and I was like, where did this rain come from? It doesn't even say there was supposed to be rain in the forecast. So I'm over it, mostly also because you think it's good for us, but 90% of it's going back to the ocean. So it's not doing anybody any good anyway. So, but that could be a whole nother episode is water mismanagement. Yeah. Tonight, we're going to talk about a different style of mismanagement. We're going to be talking about Sandag, and most people don't really know about Sandag. Camille, be honest. How much did you know about Sandag before I started bugging you about it and like raising a fuss about it in our text messages?
I'd never heard of it. I'm in Orange County, mm-hmm. not San Diego. It is specific to San Diego. I had never heard of it until you.
Yeah, it's an interesting organization. And most people don't really know what it is. I'll give you the quick background. Sandag is short for the San Diego Association of Governments. The idea is that mostly they get together, all these different governments, they're coordinating on transportation plans because San Diego is a big county. I didn't really realize this, but did you know San Diego is basically the size of like Connecticut? That's how big the county is.
I didn't realize that either.
I did not know that. I saw a tweet that said, trying to make a county which is like the size of Connecticut work like Manhattan is just damn near impossible, which is what they're trying to do, and we'll get into that. But it's a big county, so they have to have all these different governments kind of like work together and say like, okay, we're going to pretend, you know, we're going to act like we know what we're doing, and we're going to get all this stuff together. We're going to make sure this trolley goes through this town and this works and all that stuff. Sounds like a good idea, right? If you're going to build a trolley that goes from one city to another city to another city, you all kind of want to be on the same page. So that's mostly what Sandag does. Now, you get different board members on this Sandag board. You get mayors, you get city council people. They get sent from, you know, whether the city council wants to send you or not. One controversy that we were just discussing before we hopped on was there was a newly elected Republican mayor of Chula Vista, which is the second largest city in San Diego County, John McCann. And it was sort of assumed that he would be the board member for Sandag, representing Chula Vista. But because he, as a Republican, openly came out and said, I oppose the per mile tax, guess what? The Democratic City Council said, not so fast. We're not going to send you. They sent somebody else instead, which makes a big deal about the weighted vote. So I'm really kind of going all over the place, but this is how complicated this really is. And Camille, you were telling me before, like it's confusing. Like you start to really dive mm-hmm. down and go down this rabbit hole. Like this gets way more confusing the more you start to figure out what the heck is Sandag doing and like, what's their purpose? Where are they, you know, what are they doing with all this money? It's just like a huge web of like confusion, right?
Yes. If I'm being honest, I need like another week to really dive into this and research and cross my T's and dot my I's because I have like 50 tabs open and I think I sent you half of those links and yeah. I'm still trying to figure out how did we get here?
Yeah. And just like a little behind the scenes inside baseball, Camille likes to research and she's fantastic at research and she'll be like, okay, I'm going to send you an email with the stuff that I found. This week, this might have been the biggest email I've gotten from her with the links. I opened it up and it was just like a whole bunch of links. I'm like, well, I read pretty quickly, but I'm not going to read all those links.
Some of them are like 500 pages, no exaggeration. I think there was two documents, like one was 250 pages, another was 494 pages. So yeah, I didn't expect you to get through that in 2 hours.
And you asked me before, you just came out and said, you're like, I'm not trying to be funny here. Is Sandag like one giant Ponzi scheme? Because the more you dive into it, it does seem like a Ponzi scheme, doesn't it? Like when you start to look at how much money they make and how little they've actually done, it's pretty crazy that none of it has really done anything. They've raised a ton of money. They want to keep raising more money for all these promised projects and stuff like that. But they're, what have they actually done? There's a new trolley line, one new trolley line in San Diego that cost, you know, billions and billions of dollars, was way behind schedule and over budget. The blue line, which went from downtown San Diego, it extended it all the way up into La Jolla. And if you know anything about San Diego, La Jolla is sort of the glitzy Beverly Hills of like San Diego County. A lot of people with a lot of money live in La Jolla, and they were none too happy that there was public transit coming up to La Jolla. Mm-hmm. So also nobody in La Jolla uses public transit. Like they're not going to hop on the trolley if they're coming out of their, you know, $15 million house. They're not hopping on the trolley to go downtown. They're driving their Porsche or something downtown. So, but that was one of the big achievements. So where should we start on Sandag? Like, I don't even know where to start. There's so many things.
Why don't you talk about AB 805, our buddy, Lorena Gonzalez Fletcher. She authored AB 805 a couple years ago. And that has a lot to do with now what's happening. So why don't you tell us all about AB 805 and what our dear friend, Lorena.
I will try to boil this down as best as possible. I made a post the other day about this idea of a weighted vote. And they came up with this idea of a weighted vote because on Sandag before, it was one person, one vote. So if there was one board member, they would get one vote. And the whole notion was purely democratic, that if there's one board member, you're going to get one vote. Well, Lorena Gonzalez, who is now Lorena Gonzalez Fletcher, wife to Nathan Fletcher, who was the previous chair of Sandag because he was also the chair of the County Board of Supervisors. Yes, it does get this incestuous, wrote and passed this bill, AB 805. Basically, what it did was it implemented the weighted vote system. And their rationale was, well, why would the city of San Diego send one representative to Sandag and they get one vote, and then a smaller city like Carlsbad sends one representative and they get the same sort of vote? So they came up with this idea that if you have more population, so the city of San Diego obviously has the most, Chula Vista has the second most, they're the second largest city, you get more of a vote. It's more weighted. So why is that an issue? Well, because as long as the left-leaning cities like San Diego and Chula Vista, outside of the fact that it does have a Republican mayor now that they blocked from being on the board, which would have made a big change in Sandag, because if the Chula Vista mayor, who's Republican, had that weighted vote and he was going in and voting on these things, it would make a big difference. He would be blocking stuff left and right. So that's basically what happened was, is she gave more power to the cities, which not surprisingly are often more run by Democrats. So while it sounds like most Democratic legislation is, oh, it sounds really altruistic and like this is, it's better representation. And the video I posted earlier this week showed one of the city council members from San Diego kind of getting on his high horse talking about, well, you're trying to tell me that the person of Carlsbad is 30,000 more times more powerful and their voice should be heard over my constituents and blah, 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 blah. Which is funny because I think he's kind of making the argument for the Electoral College because about representation, but you know, I don't think he put two and two together. So why is this a problem? It's a problem because you basically, if you're a smaller municipality and you're on Sandag, your voice is just not going to be heard because the chair can just call for a weighted vote on anything. She can just go, okay, weighted vote. So basically every time a vote comes up, they don't like it. Guess what happens? They call for a weighted vote. Prime example, Nora Vargas, who is the current chair of Sandag. She's also the chair of the County Board of Supervisors. She was just implemented as chair last week. She did not receive a majority of the votes out of everybody on the board. So what did they do? They called a weighted vote. And guess what? As soon as they called a weighted vote, Nora Vargas won. Shocker. They did the same thing down the line. They did it with vice chair. The person that they put up as vice chair did not receive a majority of the vote. They called a weighted vote. The second vice chair, same exact thing. Didn't get the majority of the votes. They voted for somebody else, and that person did not become second vice chair. So they called a weighted vote. They got the person they wanted in. So does that seem fair or democratic to you?
It seems very unfair. Like Delmar, what, they have less than 5,000 residents, so they get what, no representation?
Yeah, they basically don't get a seat at the table.
I know that's a part of what Sandag's trying to push right now. It really cuts into Delmar, and there's even talk of eminent domain because they want to move the railroad tracks. And here they basically don't have representation, and their one vote's probably just going to be vetoed anyway. Quick questions. How many people are on the board of Sandag? Or how many? There's 21 members?
Yeah, I was going to say it's around 20 or something.
Okay.
I don't know the exact number, but it's around 20.
And do you know all in all how many votes that equals to with the weighted vote? Because the representation?
With the weighted vote? I mean, I don't know how the math breaks down. I just know as long as the big cities like Chula Vista and San Diego vote one way, that's all that really matters. Like the big cities, if they vote one way, that's it. The little cities don't really matter anymore. And there's a lot of little cities in San Diego County who are not going to get any representation. They're never going to get their voices heard. It's always going to be San Diego and Chula Vista and some of the other big cities.
Is the CEO of Sandag a voting member? Do they have voting rights?
I don't think so. No. Okay. He's just the CEO. So he runs the day-to-day. The CEO, that's his job. And we're going to get into who the CEO is. Yes, there is a CEO of Sandag. He's the chief executive operating or officer of Sandag. So you have the board. They vote on stuff. And then it's his job as the CEO to sort of implement it and make sure it works. Hasn't had really a good track record. I don't think he's really gotten anything done. But we'll get to him in a minute.
Can we talk about how Nora, I'm sorry.
No, you Nora, go ahead.
How she became the chairwoman. You said she became the chairwoman with a weighted vote. Who votes on the board members of Sandag? Is that the County Board of Supervisors?
Usually it's customary that the chair of the County Board of Supervisors is the chair of Sandag, but they have to vote on it. So they have to still approve Nora Vargas to actually be the chair of Sandag. She did not receive the majority of like the straight up 1-1 vote. And so because they wanted her to be the chair, they just called a weighted vote and she got on. And that was a big controversy as well. Sites like KUSI have brought up. So she didn't even win. It's funny that it's funny that Democrats, we talked about this last week, like Gavin Newsom, they love democracy, but not when it doesn't work for them. Right. And this is another good example of how Democrats really don't like democracy when it doesn't benefit them, because they had a straight democracy. They said a straight democratic vote of Nora Vargas. Should she be the chair of the board of Sandag? She was not elected. So what did they do? They just pulled this weighted vote and she won anyway, which is, I believe they brought up that whole thing about how, oh, Trump didn't win the popular vote and Hillary Clinton won the popular vote, so she should be president. Well, guess what? Nora Vargas didn't win popular vote either. She won the weighted vote, which is not the popular vote. So that's a big thing. I wonder, I'm going to actually go to an event next week. I was invited as part of work. They're putting it on. I think I told you about this. For a Nora Vargas thing. I'm not donating. I'm just going to go because my work is paying for it and I'm going to show up and, you know, make a good face for it. Maybe I should ask her what her thoughts on are on the fact that she was, she did not win the popular vote. Supervisor Vargas, do you feel bad you did not win the popular vote to be chair of SANDAG? Anyway, so that's what happened. And now she's chair and she's going to push things through.
Okay. Clearly, see how confused I am about all this? Like, yes, I researched and read, but I just felt like the deeper I went, the more I'm like, I have no idea what's going on here. I just know everyone's corrupt and paying themselves massive salaries.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you brought up somebody. Who's the guy you brought up before? Northern Transit.
Matt Tucker, North County Transit District, I guess, chairman, and he's making like 500K a year. And all those divisions are working together, like the Metropolitan Transit System. They're all working with SANDAG to kind of like, they're all together.
Mm-hmm.
And no, it's not bad. Like I told you, I'm going to go get a job in county government.
I wish it were that easy.
Shoot high.
Shoot high. Aim high. Aim for the one that pays 500,000. Supervisors only make 250,000. So much for being a public servant. And yeah, it is interesting when you look at it, and it's scary because, once you know where these specific weighted votes line up, you know that these policies are going to pass. Like this one that we've been trying to ring the alarm bell on, that I think people are just not paying enough attention to is this tax per mile. I'm blown away that more people who have access to a large platform and can really blow this up and kind of get people behind it are not worried about the fact that we're on the precipice, probably in this month, of a vote being taken place that San Diegans are going to have to start paying a tax per mile for every mile you drive. Now, I don't know how they're going to implement that. They haven't really given out details. But it is for this whole regional plan where they want to raise over $100 billion for more buses and trains and stuff like that, that people just don't use in San Diego County because it's a big county. And it's shocking to me. I've started to see some bigger people pay attention to this. I saw Steve Hilton tweet about it. I always find it interesting that Steve Hilton, with the big platform he has on Fox, does not get as much social engagement on like his Instagram or Twitter. But I would figure he'd have a little bit more of that. Anyway, that's not really the point. But some people are starting to raise the alarm bells about this because California, I also believe, is trying to do the same thing across the state. Mm-hmm. And sadly, I feel like San Diego County, for the, you know, before COVID, was sort of this like reddish purple county. Like it, we were kind of immune to like the craziness of California. But now I feel like we've gotten to a point where we're the experimental test tube lab for all of the crazy California policies. And I think that has a lot to do with the fact that Lorena Gonzalez and Nathan Fletcher are down here. And Nathan Fletcher, I think, wants to be governor someday. But it does seem like there's a lot of stuff that they try out down here in San Diego and then see if it works. And this tax per mile is like the first thing that I think they're trying out. And they're going to try and implement across the state. And that's terrifying for people everywhere. So even if you're not in San Diego, this is a terrifying issue that we should be paying attention to. And people should be pushing back on like wildly right now. On top of the fact that we have gas tax, we already pay the highest registration fees in the entire country for our cars. But I guess that's not enough. We need to tax per mile, right?
Yeah, I have so many questions about that. So many.
Okay. Okay.
Okay.
I'll do my best to try and answer it.
It's tax per mile is to fund public transportation. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. And so they would also like to get, they want to discourage people from driving their private vehicles because they would like to save the world, save the planet. So if you all tomorrow stop driving, how are you going to pay for public transportation?
That's a good question. Okay. it's sort of like, and CEO Hassan, he went on KOSI and he had this interview and they kind of pressed him on it because he makes $500,000 a year, another cushy salary. He makes over $500,000 a year. And the anchor asked him point blank and said, well, do you have an electric car? Because you don't have to pay the gas tax. And wasn't the whole thing that the gas tax was supposed to, one, fix the infrastructure, but also penalize people and force them to go into electric cars or kind of persuade them to go into electric cars? Now that they're losing out on that revenue because people are buying more electric cars, they're like, wait a second, we're losing out on the revenue that we use to deter people from doing this activity, So now we're going to have to turn around and figure out another way to tax them. Like, wasn't that the whole incentive to get people out of gas cars and into electric cars? And now they're angry that they're not getting the money from electric cars?
Correct.
And even said, CEO Hassan said in this interview, he said, well, it's not fair that I don't pay a gas tax. Well, wasn't that the point of electric cars? And now he's saying people who drive electric cars, they should be taxed per mile because they're missing out on the gas tax.
Okay, I'm trying to process all this. This is strictly if you live in San Diego and drive. If you're a resident of San Diego, like if I come visit San Diego, they can't make me pay a per mile gas tax.
I believe it's for San Diego residents. So living in San Diego County, I imagine the easiest way for them to do it is you're going to have to report your odometer like every year. Like what was your odometer at the beginning of the year? As if anyone really keeps track of like what their odometer says at the beginning of the year. But you may have to. Otherwise, there's no way to put into people's cars like tracking devices. Someone brought this up to me as like a constitutional question. They say, well, what are they going to do? They're going to like put tracking devices in. And technically that would be an invasion of like your Fourth Amendment rights. You can't have a tracking device track you all over the place. There's actually a Supreme Court case, I think it was Jones, where they talked about you can't have a tracker on someone's car for longer than what is needed to figure out if there's probable cause. Meaning you can't just track people for the sake of tracking people. So that would be a Fourth Amendment violation. You can't track people with like GPS. So I imagine it would just be like reported. You'd have to report your odometer if you're a San Diego County resident. But right, if you drove in from Orange County, they're not going to tax you. They're going to tax just us.
So if you go, like you take like a road trip to Arizona and you're like, or even New Jersey, like they're going to, you didn't use those miles in San Diego, but they're going to be like, you have to pay for it in San Diego anyway. Way to save the planet.
Exactly.
It feels like another infringement on privacy too, as silly as it is, because they're not tracking where we're going. It doesn't affect me yet, but we have these new, California rolled out the new organics trash cans, and they were like, we're going to send random search parties to search random trash cans to make sure that the trash is like, no, going through people's trash is illegal. That's an infringement on our privacy.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to see how far you drive. Like, leave me alone.
It's small on details, but I think they're starting to run out of ways to figure out how to tax people. And this is such a regressive tax. And I don't understand why they think this is a good idea. I continue to say this, most Democratic policies show that they hate the poor, because most of them end up hurting the poor anyway. This would certainly hurt the poor. Like, you'd have to add on a tax for driving. What if you can't afford to live within the city of San Diego and you have to live in a town that's more like East County or something, you have to drive 35 minutes every single day. That's going to add up after a while, and you're going to have to pay every single time that you get in the car and drive somewhere a tax. It's going to be detrimental to people who can't afford it. And I guess their idea is, oh, these people will just figure out how to use public transit. There's not public transit everywhere in San Diego. Like, you can't, there, you can't get from East County easily into the city of San Diego. You can't get from North County down unless you take the train, the one train that's, that comes down. So there's not a lot of options. They're trying to say it's all because they want to put more buses and transit and trolleys and stuff like that and trains. But less than, I think it's like only about 3% of the entire county uses public transit, and they're dumping more than $100 billion more under this regional plan. Which begs the question, and I'm sure we could do a whole nother episode on this, of who's really making all this money building all this transit. And I'm sure if we dove into it and figured it out more, people who are making the most money off of these contracts for public transit are probably well connected to Democratic politicians. I'm just going to go out there and say that.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, from the few salaries I looked up, it seems that's the case. I was just thinking when you mentioned East County, my mother-in-law used to live in East County, and I feel like it's a whole different county. I mean, it's kind of like the middle of nowhere when you go out there. It's not what people picture of San Diego, near the beach, all the buildings, you know. It's like, it's literally horse town. It's horse, there's, you know, branches, yeah. Ranches and stuff.
Yeah. It feels very, country. Feels very, like you're in the old West or something out in East County.
My mother-in-law went from a beach house in La Jolla to a ranch in Ramona. And so I was actually quite familiar with both those areas.
That is a huge difference, those two towns.
Yes. Yes.
More, it couldn't be more night and day.
It is. It, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's a big county. So anybody who lives far away from any of these places going to have to drive and pay this tax. So yeah, I'm surprised that more people are not ringing the alarm bell on this. We tried to get Supervisor Jim Desmond on. I think there was a scheduling conflict tonight. Hopefully we can get him on at another time to talk more about this. He's been one of the only politicians who's really been ringing the alarm bell on what Sandag is doing and kind of bringing this to people's attention. But more people need to do so, because if you think it's going to stop here in San Diego, it's not going to stop here in San Diego. This will be the pilot program. This will be the test ground. They will figure out how to do it here. And then every county after that will start to go, oh, maybe we should be taxing per mile. And it's going to get worse. And it's just going to continue from San Diego up to Orange County to LA County up to San Francisco. I'm surprised San Francisco doesn't do this already. Or Alameda or Santa Clara, those kind of counties. I'm surprised they don't do it already, but this is a warning to the rest of California that they're going to do this. They're going to try and do this. And they have the votes right now in San Diego, especially under this weighted vote structure. Mm-hmm. There's not much you can do. It used to be, well, as long as we hold a majority or a slim majority of people who are opposed to this, then we can fight it. But not under this weighted voting. They can just override everybody and shove this down our throats. So
was AB 805, the weighted vote, is that specific to San Diego County? And okay.
Yeah, it's specifically San Diego County.
And you know, Scott Wiener's totally taking notes. Public transportation is like, he just loves public transportation. And nothing wrong with that, but he loves it. I mean, he talks about it every day. I follow him.
He loves all the subways and the trains. And all that stuff. He just loves it.
Yeah, he does. He does.
He's so excited about the Central Subway.
So, yeah, you know he's taking notes. Okay, you guys are voting on this soon.
I think it's next week. Yeah, I was trying to look up specifically.
Is this a part of a bigger package, or is this one thing they're voting on?
So they're trying to get this regional plan going. So the regional transportation plan is sort of like what they're trying to do for, I mean, it's the whole point of why they have Sandag. They're trying to come up with this new plan of what they're going to do, what kind of transportation they're going to bring. But as part of that transportation plan, they have to show where are we going to get the money from. And their proposal is one of the ways they're going to get money is they're going to do this tax per mile. And I think they also want to raise sales tax like a half a cent or something. Like, I don't even know how that works out, but like that little bit is going to be added onto everything. So they're going to raise your sales tax and they're going to do tax per mile. Those are the proposals of how they're going to pay for it. That doesn't mean that they can approve this plan and then remove the tax per mile. They could do that. They could say, well, we're going to approve the transportation plan because we love trains and trolleys and all this stuff, but we're going to take out this one tax per mile part and then put it off to the back burner or something like that. But that's basically what it is. It's not just like they're showing up and they're going, do we want to tax people per mile? Let's vote yay or nay. They're kind of approving an entire plan, but they have to show like, where are you going to get the money from? This is just part of it.
I was reading about some of what they want to do as far as like the new railroad lines, because part of the issue that they're claiming is that the cliff sites are just falling, you know, they're crumbling. And so with tracks near the ocean, they obviously need to move them more inland. And so I was reading that they keep looking into where, and they've been doing some testing of the earth and whatnot, but a lot of it, they're going to have to build under homes, but apparently land, like homeowners own the land rights to, you know, basically to the center of the earth. And so they're going to have to get each individual homeowner's approval to even be able to go in and dig these tunnels. And there's going to probably be a whole bunch of legal issues there, which means even if they come up with a budget and pass all this, it's not going to end there, because suddenly there's going to be all kinds of lawsuits. There's going to be problems. There's going to be possibly eminent domain will come from this. And then there's going to be even more issues. And it just seems like this is just a never ending sinkhole of money and legal issues.
Yeah. And I don't think they're really worried about actually completing any of it anyway.
True. I was going to say, what have they completed? And that's a serious question. Like, what has Sandag actually accomplished?
Yeah, I'm pulling up this tweet right now. Again, shout out to Jim Desmond. I'm trying to find, he had a really good tweet about it. KUSI is just retweeting whatever he said. Okay. So this was, he tweeted this out a couple days ago on January 17th. This is a ballot language that was used by Sandag for the 2004 sales tax measure. So this is going back to 2004. As you see on the first bullet point, yep, voters approved this with the assumption the freeways, I-5, SR, State Route 52, and State Route 78 would be improved and their commute would be quicker. So this was their transportation improvement plan way back then. And their goal was to relieve traffic congestion, improve safety, and match state federal funds by expanding all these different highways, maintaining, improving, blah, 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 blah. Expanding commuter express bus, trolley, and coaster services. Then he goes on to say, here's the current list of projects that have not been started by Sandag, essentially the same list that was promised to voters 19 years ago. San Diegans were paying a half cent sales tax, but aren't getting the projects that were promised. So all of that stuff that was promised 19 years ago, none of it has even been started. So in 19 years, they haven't done anything. They've raised billions and billions and billions of dollars. I think KUS, I brought on CEO Hassan and asked him, like, where did all the money go? He goes, oh, well, we just, we under budgeted what we really needed. That sounds like poor leadership on your part. Like, that doesn't sound like you did your job. Final tweet, he says, instead, Sandag has spent 2/3 of that money on public transit. Billions have been spent on transit projects, yet ridership has decreased dramatically in San Diego County. So that's sort of the track record of Sandag, is they do promise they're going to do all these wonderful things. We're going to improve the highways. We're going to improve the trolleys. We're going to improve the buses. And then billions are spent and years go by and nothing really happens and nothing really gets better. But we do have a new trolley line going up to La Jolla that literally nobody uses. It's funny because it kind of runs through like my neighborhood, like the outskirts of my neighborhood. So like whenever I we drive by, like we never see anybody at the trolleys or getting on or off those trolleys. So, but good job. I'm sure someone made a lot of money. And speaking of making a lot of money, let's talk about this guy, Hassan. I'm going to pull up the article because there is a lot to talk about when it comes to Hassan. Do you have any initial thoughts about him?
He makes a lot of money. Okay, so I told you, I believe he lives in North Riverside County. From what I found, his current address, which he has been at for a while, which is about an hour north of me, meaning it is a good 3 or so hours from San Diego. What the heck does he know about San Diego transportation? I mean, it's the counties are so different.
Well, he must be an expert because they keep him around. He must be an expert in something. I would imagine money laundering is probably what he's an expert in. Because there was a scandal as recently as last year. And this was...
We love a good scandal, don't we?
We love good scandal. And we love people involved in politics spending money lavishly on themselves. Not name dropping here about anybody in particular.
No.
This is from iNewsSource. Taxpayers footed the bill for Sandag staff to enjoy filet mignon, other upscale dining. Staff at the San Diego Association Governor Sandag pulled out their employee credit cards hundreds of times to pay for meals, often at upscale dining spots, and with bills topping out more than $100 per visit. A recent internal audit of Sandag already flagged questionable purchase on the credit cards, including unallowable charges at local restaurants. But receipts and transaction logs now show that taxpayer-funded restaurant visits were a regular practice for some of the agency's highest-paid employees. Staff dined at places such as Ray Delgado, Donovan Steakhouse, and the U.S. Grant Hotel Restaurant. Now, if you know the U.S. Grant, it's a hoity-toity place. It's like a historic hotel, but it's very nice. Donovan's is very swanky. Ray Delgado, I don't know where that is, but I imagine it sounds really nice. Reporting the meals as business meetings and agency records. While employees ate with fellow staff, they were also joined at times by elected leaders, other government officials, board members, consultants, and lobbyists.
Interesting.
They also found that
disappointed that they said filet mignon. I mean, if you're going to go to a steakhouse, you got to get something better than filet mignon.
Yeah, I never understood the whole fascination with filet mignon. Filet mignon just must have had a great marketing team because it's the most inferior of steaks on the menu. I'm just going to say it. You know, people love filet mignon. I'm like, no. It's got to be a nice ribeye, nice dry aged ribeye or something. It's all about the marbleization. Way off topic. But I am a big fan of steaks. And, you know, all the people who want to eat bugs and drink soy milk and whatever, go right ahead. More meat for the rest of us. More steak.
Exactly what I was going to say. It's more steak for us.
More steak for me. That's all you eat your bugs and drink your soy fake milk. I'll drink whole milk and steak. It'll be great. Somebody in the chat just said agreed on the ribeye steak. Thank you. Yeah, ribeye steak is the king of steaks. Anyway, we're getting really off topic here. Auditors last month. Yeah. Is there any late night steak places? Ask Siri right now. Auditors last month found staff charged nearly 70,000 at local restaurants over a 4-year period and almost $250,000 on non-working days. The vast majority of expense. 70,000 at local restaurants over a 4-year period.
Okay.
And almost 250,000 on non-working days. So $250,000 on non-working days. Let's see. One example that iNewsSource found, CEO Hassan, and I'm going to butcher his last name. I can never remember how to say it. Ikrada charged nearly $100 in May 2019, Little Italy's Craft and Commerce. Most places in Little Italy are very swanky, but failed to submit an itemized receipt. A transaction log reported that he and a staffer attended a dinner meeting with a San Diego Gas and Electric executive.
Oh.
Fitting. Ikrada, one of the agency's most frequent spenders at restaurants, charged $17,000 in meals over roughly 2 years and mostly at businesses in the county. In some months, well, you know what? At least he's supporting local business. I guess that's at the one least, upside.
But do you know what I'm thinking? I bet you anything he has an expense account. And if he is commuting from Rancho Cucamonga, his gas is totally being paid for by the government.
Yes, or his electric car, because he did admit he has an electric car.
Or that, okay. Okay.
His out-of-town visits brought some of the most expensive restaurant charges, with four other San Diego officials. Ikrada charged more than $700 in 2019 at the high-profile Occidental Grill in Washington, D.C., including Branzino for everyone at the table, appetizers and entrees such as a $52 feature meat dish and a nearly $50 filet mignon. That's actually pretty cheap for filet mignon, so that's not really. Can you tell we go to steakhouses a lot? Yes. Ikrada, whose salary and benefits total more than $580,000, has headed the agency since late 2018. So the guy almost makes $600,000, and he's using taxpayer monies and credit cards to pay for his lavish meals.
And he's probably got great benefits. So he's basically close to $1 million a year. I wouldn't be surprised of just income and expenses.
Yeah, he's killing it. So I want to see if I want to pull up this video. Okay. Let's see.
I'm excited. You told me about this video.
This is a video. So if you want to know the type of guy he is, I'm trying to say this politely. He is a grade A douche nozzle. He's really slimy. And yeah. So this was on KUSI. They asked him about, like, well, what do you have to say to everybody about all these fees that you're racking up? And here's his response.
It has been a board that's been plagued with some issues, not just the controversy with the RUC charge, but, you know, the misuse of credit cards on lavish dinners. That was a big point of contention as well. Do you feel as though, you know, maybe it's time to move on? Or do you feel that with the election and getting new members of the board, it would be a more functional and efficient board?
Lauren, I do want to stop because for the audio listeners who don't see what's going on, if you could see how much he's fidgeting in mm-hmm. his seat and like wiping his brow and like he's kind of like wiping stuff off. And like you can tell he doesn't like being in the hot seat and being questioned. He's very, very uncomfortable in this video. But I just wanted to point that out for anyone who's listening, what the picture looks like.
You know, your station reported in the sensational news about misuse of cards.
Well, it was an independent audit, was it not?
No, it was, but you misreported, actually, and it's sensational.
How so?
There were no wrongdoing at all. There were definitely need for policies and controls, and we're working with the auditors and all that good. But, you know, for people to go and give speeches in the news to just sensationalize things is not. So this idea. Second,
the fact that he's playing this off as like, oh, well, I mean, there needs to be policies and controls about how we spend all of your taxpayer dollars. Like, obviously, that needs to happen. And clearly, that's what we figured out after this independent audit. You're the CEO of Sandag. You're supposed to have these policies and controls in place. It comes from the top down.
Well, and I like how he's like, how dare the news report on this? We are, you know, using your money, but how dare the people know what's going on?
I love how he just kept going, oh, you're just trying to sensationalize this news.
Yeah.
And you're trying to make it this big thing. And like, you're trying to give all these speeches and it's like, no. Actually, it was an independent audit who came out and found out you were spending $17,000, thousands and thousands of dollars of taxpayer money on lavish meals. And
it's
you're
like,
kind of just,
Lauren, sorry, no, I was interrupting you. It's just Lauren, shut up and go drive your car so I can expense your miles and have more steak dinners.
Exactly. For a guy who makes almost $600,000 a year with benefits. So
can't afford his own
can't
steaks.
Afford, yeah, he can't afford steaks. Can't afford a $50 filet mignon. So
I'm seriously hungry right now.
And you know what? I'm just going to say it. As if I already didn't think this guy was a slime ball. I have a lesser opinion of him now that he eats filet mignon. So that's just, you know, I have a lesser opinion. I was curious
about that special meat that they said, like some meat thing for like $52. I was like, what's that?
The feature meat?
It's just like the feature meat. I mean,
is it like mystery meat?
I know what the
meat?
Feature like, meat is. That they no, like Old Bridge Hop House has like their special thing, and I, you know, like. Yeah, I need to go there. Okay, sorry, carry on.
We're not sponsored by Brea Chop House. Although if they are listening, we'd be happy to be sponsored by Brea Chop House.
If anyone wants to give us gift cards to Brea Chop House, we will put them to good use.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, let's finish this up.
Work at my own terms and leave on my own terms, unless I'm fired by the
Which
board.
You won't be.
And I could be fired by the board, and I accepted that from day one. You know, from the first week here, you know, the sensational news, let be fired. I don't pay attention. I don't go to bed losing sleep over who's going to make a political speech or fire me.
I don't go to bed. I don't lose sleep over any of this stuff. Clearly.
It reminds me so much of other people we know.
Other people we've talked about in the past. But
to
the
also take like, a Take a Go shot ahead. Every time he says sensational.
Sensational. Yeah, I think he came on and he said, I'm going to get these questions, so how do I respond to him? Just call him sensational.
I think it's been three times so far, so three shots, everyone, unless you're underage.
Yeah.
I stand for the merits with my team of what we're delivering to San Diegans. And all of that other stuff and all that sensational shot. News is background noise as far as I'm concerned. So, again, I don't want to elaborate on the issue, but all this news about misuse, there were no wrongdoing, and the auditor herself in her report put that. There were no wrongdoing.
Well, I don't think anyone's saying any of the actions were illegal, but I think what was reported was just, you know, taxpayers feeling as though they want to have their tax money being used in efficient ways, and that's where maybe the argument.
He's so uncomfortable.
But,
Lauren, I am all for that. I am actually known professionally as to be very keen on good policies and controls. And there was that's just the audit issues were about policies and controls.
Well, now maybe there's newer
so
controls.
So he's very professional about policies and controls.
Mm-hmm.
Just not these. Just not okay. These specifically. Like, you know, he's known for being about policies and control, but not when it comes to spending your tax dollars at lavish steakhouses.
Yeah.
Just not that.
3% of the time.
But he promises from here on out, he's going to continue to be really good about policies and control. And the fact that he's like, well, there was no wrongdoing, so I don't understand why everyone's getting upset about this. Like,
not losing sleep.
I'm not losing sleep over the fact that I spent your hard-earned tax dollars that I ripped from you on lavish dinners. I'm not losing sleep. Are you losing sleep over it? And, you know, if you guys would just stop sensationalizing me going out to dinner, like just stop like making a big deal about it.
In place that will probably make that more efficient, which is a good thing. But I do appreciate you coming on to answer the tough questions, and we'll hear from the Air Resources Board
you're listening on audio right now. The look on his face says it all right now. He has this look. He's got like a side smirk or something going on. Like, is this damn interview over yet? Why did I agree to come on here?
I was actually focused on his look and his facial expressions.
Yeah, he just looks like he's he's not having a good time. He's thinking right now, man, do I wish I had a nice 15-year-old scotch and a filet mignon right now. So
or not this.
And that's it. So that's a little preview of CEO Hassan. For all those people who don't know who he is, he's a character, and he makes a lot of money, and he's pushing a lot of the policies that are coming down the pike in terms of tax per mile. And he believes that he knows what's good for you. Except his choice of steak.
Well, does he? You're really upset about that.
I am. I am upset about that because, you know, just...
I feel like I shouldn't have pointed it out.
The filet mignon. Nope. Yeah, it comes from the top, and there is a video, and I don't know if I want to pull it up because it's not really quite that important. I did post it a couple days ago, but when Nora Vargas failed her vote, what happened was it was CEO Hassan who did lean over to her and tell her, call for a weighted vote. You could read his lips. He says, call for a weighted vote. So
I read that, or maybe it was because you posted it.
Yeah. So if you don't think he, even if he's not a voting member, if you don't think he has his thumb on the scale to push his own personal agenda, then you're kind of kidding yourself, because this guy has a certain agenda that he wants people out of their cars. He wants everybody into public transit. He wants to tax people like crazy. Doesn't bother him. Remember, he does not lose sleep over this stuff. Yeah. Not when you're making $600,000. None of this is really going to hurt him. Also, I wonder if he lives in Riverside, would he be subject to his own? I guess would he be subject to this San Diego tax per mile?
No, if he lives in Riverside.
If he's a county resident of Riverside, then he wouldn't even be part of this tax per mile. But we could go on and on and on about Sandag, and I think Camille and I have started down the rabbit hole. Maybe we do need to have another episode about this more, and I'd love to get Supervisor Jim Desmond on to talk more about it, because he has really good experience being on Sandag and can really go into detail. But I think that's a good intro. And if you are...
Well,
yeah.
No, carry on.
I was going to say, if you are new to knowing about Sandag, this is your first time hearing about it, and you feel like your blood is boiling after this, that's good, because you should be upset with what's happening with Sandag, and you should be paying attention, and more people should be paying attention, because it's scary what they're doing, and it's scary what they're pushing, and I don't think enough people are paying attention to it. If nothing else, I hope this episode is a good primer for a lot of people to kind of continue to go and look more into Sandag and see what they're trying to push, their own power-hungry politicians who are using corruption, these weighted votes and stuff like that to get what they want, to scandals and wasting taxpayer money and the fact that they never complete any of the projects that they actually promise. I mean, it's... Honestly, I think you nailed it when we talked before the show and you said, is this one giant Ponzi scheme? And it does kind of feel like Sandag is one giant Ponzi scheme.
It does.
So,
I have
go ahead.
Two questions, two things. One, did you get the tweets I sent you, Lorena Gonzalez Fletcher?
I can't see her tweets because I'm blocked.
Yeah, that's why I sent it to you. I'll just read. She tweeted out, we worked hard to sculpt a law, #AB805, so that extremely tiny cities like Del Mar had a voice at the Sandag table. It is insulting to suggest Del Mar's 4K residents should have an equal voice on Chula Vista's 280K. They should stop acting like children. I don't think she's currently a politician, but there you go. She was former politician, Nathan Fletcher's wife. That's how she feels about everybody. Stop acting like children for having an opinion on how your tax dollars are spent. Stop having an opinion on the fact that your mayor doesn't get representation at Sandag's table.
Mm-hmm.
Phil, San Diego residents, what can they do? Where do they go? What do they do to speak out against this?
Well, whenever they have a board meeting, and this was told to me by Richard Bailey, who was on the board. I think he's still on the board. He's got to be because he's a mayor of Coronado. You can file opposition to a lot of stuff in Sandag. And it forces them, they actually have to sit down and read it. So that is one thing that they still have to do. If you file, I can't remember specifically what it is, But if you go to their site right before the meeting, you can file your opposition. You can email a certain email, and you can let them know. And they have to go through every single opposition. So if you're to flood Sandag with hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of opposition saying, we do not want this tax per mile, then they have to sit there and read it, and they have to go through every single one. You can also call in the day of the meeting. They have to take calls. So Sandag will put you in a queue. You can call up, you can make your voices known, and it's just like going to, it's sort of like showing up to a city council meeting or a county supervisor meeting. You can show up and make your voice heard. So these are not entirely closed meetings. They are open to the public, and they are open to taxpayers to have their input. I think the next one is coming up next week. It's either Thursday or Friday. You can check. It's on Sandag's website. It will tell you exactly when they're having it, what number you can call into to voice your opposition or support. Hopefully you're not calling in to support the tax per mile. But these are things you can do. And it worked before. This tax per mile thing has not... This is not brand new. They've been trying to get this tax per mile into the plan for a while now, for probably over a year. And there was one time a bunch of people called in and wrote in. And all of a sudden, all these politicians like Todd Gloria, who was for it, now all of a sudden backed off when they saw there was a huge blowback from the voters. So if your voice is made and enough people call up, then they will likely back off of this. And I think this next coming week, if we can kind of nail that down, I think it'd be a good idea. Maybe get a post out, share some stuff, and kind of organize some sort of effort to call in and get people to really push back on this if the vote's going up next week. So that's what you can do.
Okay. You know, I have ideas that I will throw your way after this, but, is it beneficial if they call their Sandag representative, like their mayor or whoever was elected, and ask them to? Okay. So
find out who your representative is and tell them, you know, email them as well specifically, because you can say, hey, you're my representative in Sandag. Do not support this tax per mile.
Okay. And do they need to call the day of the meeting?
Yes.
So, okay.
Yeah,
but they can email anytime.
Yeah, I think it's like a day. You can email before a day before or something. They open the email and you can file an email, which then they have to go over and read. But you would have to sit on the phone when they call in, and you just kind of sit in a queue and make your voice known.
Okay. Sandag, Sandag .org. Website.
Yep. Okay. So you can push back, and I think people need to push back, and they're going to keep trying to roll this tax per mile out as much as possible. So even if we push it off this time, I think it'll still rear its ugly head down the line. But you just got to stay vigilant on this stuff and not let it happen.
So anyone watching, share this with like every San Diego resident, you know, or put on your social media. It's really important.
Exactly. Yeah, this is crucial stuff. This is stuff that's going to affect everyday Californians in every aspect of your life, especially in San Diego.
Right.
Well, only in San Diego.
But like you said, it'll eventually spread out like a disease.
It's eventually going to hit everybody in California. So get ready for that. Sooner or later, it'll be like a state law pretty soon. They're going to start doing tax per mile. But that's my final thoughts on Sandag. For now, there's a lot more to talk about and how corrupt and crazy this organization is. Any final thoughts, Camille, from you before we sign off tonight on Sandag?
Just please call your representative. Please contact Sandag. Even though I'm not in San Diego, I don't want Orange County trying to act like this.
Let's nip it in the bud down here in San Diego so that we never get the idea, and in any other counties to try and do stuff like this. So,
and I'm hungry. So,
after all that talk about filet mignons and steak, all right.
Yeah.
On that note, as we always like to end every show, if you enjoyed this, the best way to support is to just kind of email, text, or share this show with anybody else. You can listen on audio, on Spotify, Apple, all that stuff. Make sure to like, share, subscribe, and review. Helps with the algorithm. Make sure you leave comments after this. And that's basically it. We'll see you on the next one every Thursday night live at 8 p.m. Have a good night, everybody.